We're going to talk today about hidden jewels. If you can keep in your mind this little thought, that is that God's ways are not our ways. And we always get sometimes we really get confused about that. And sometimes we act as if we don't understand, and sometimes we don't. But the truth of the matter is His ways are so much higher than ours and comes at things so differently than we do. And I think you'll see that today, and I think that's what God wants you to see. And He, in particularly, wants you to understand how important you are, how much He loves you, and how much He values you. And all of us, everybody in here, in the 2024 message, the Lord said, some who've been considered giants will fall. Some will be taken away in order to escape a fall. And the humble in spirit will be lifted up. Those who are the hidden jewels in my body will shake my church. And many will ask and wonder, where did they come from? Who are these who speak like the Almighty? Where did they get such understanding? For I will use the unknowns, the simple and the humble, in this year to confound the wise and the proud. This passage then takes us really to Isaiah 43, where the prophet wrote these amazing words. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name, you're mine. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you'll not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You're honored, and I love you. So in this passage from Isaiah, the word you in Hebrew is specifically singular. And so why is that important to us today? Because God, through the prophet, spoke this promise to us as individuals. So it means that the promise we just read is for each disciple of the Lord and to show to us how precious each of us really are to the Lord God Almighty. When He talks about how much He loves us and how He has traded others for us and how precious we are, He was talking to you. Now, whether or not you're willing to accept that is up to you. But the fact of life, He was talking to you. This is an individual message, and He so wants you to hear it because it's so precious. The reality sometimes of realizing there's so many people that we might find ourselves asking, do I really matter when it comes to God's plan? Then you ask the question, does God have a purpose, a specific purpose, just for me? I want you to listen because you go be blessed. I'm asking the question, does God have a purpose? If I were to go up and down this road, does God have a purpose for you? Have you seen it? Have you touched it? Have you smelled it? Have you been by it? Have you lost it? Or have you ever even encountered it? Or have you just done what you've seen everybody else do? Have you ever asked God about you? Can one small, insignificant person like me or like you make any difference in the kingdom of God? Is He expecting you to make a difference? Yes. Oh, I know you're going to say yes, but I know your heart and a lot of people, you're saying, I have no idea. Now, if you aren't real this morning, you're going to miss it. The Bible is filled with great stories about men and women who did exploits for God. Characters like Noah and Moses and David and Paul and John. And we know the impact that all these people have made on our lives and on the generations around us. But the Bible is also full of characters who have no names, people who may have never been noticed during their entire lifetimes, people who seem to have nothing noteworthy to their credit, people whose influence didn't reach beyond their immediate family, and perhaps a handful of friends. Isn't it interesting that people with that kind of background find their name in God's book? That's pretty amazing. God is saying that every name I'm going to say to you today has a role helping you and me understand God and His ways. As I read them to you, you're going to be amazed. For example, do you know that one unnamed woman saved the entire kingdom of Judah when she stole a child and hid him for 6 years? Hid him in the temple for 6 years. When he turned seven, Joash is his name. At seven, he became king. And it was his grandmother who was killing everybody. And he was stolen by his nurse. It's actually found in 2 Kings chapter 11. And many Christians don't even remember reading about it, much less picking up the message contained in it. It's the message that you need to be getting. So, church, every word in this Bible is important, even if you don't understand why. Let me remind you of a few of those unsung heroes. These obscure men and women, mostly unnamed, were essential in God's plan. Now, that's what you have to hear. Because if they're unnamed, you don't know who they were, and you've been carrying your book around all these years. You don't know who they were, but God knew who they were. He put them in His book. Do you not think He doesn't know you and have a plan for you? Most of their roles were private. Most of them were hidden, seen and recorded only in the Bible. Yet every single one of them had something to teach us, to inspire us, to motivate us, and to fulfill our individual calling. Has something that can point us how to be who God's called us to be. Every single one of them is a guiding light from the Lord. So let's look at a few unknowns. There were three men, Adino and Eleazar and Shammar. Who ever heard of these three men? Nobody. But David in 2 Samuel. Each of them single-handedly defeated an entire army. Yet we know virtually nothing about them except that they were among David's mighty men. You remember the three men that went and David said, if I could just have a drink of water from the well in Bethlehem? And three of his mighty 30 men snuck out, went through all the forces, went through every single thing, went and got him some water and brought it back to him. And then David would not drink it because he said, this water is worth the price of your blood, what you have done for me. And he wouldn't drink it. Poured it out as a sacrifice to God. Then there's a nameless little girl, the commander of the Syrian army, a man named Naaman. Contracted leprosy, you remember that one? No cure. His wife's young slave, a kidnapped Jewish child, dared to speak to Naaman's wife about a prophet of Israel who was known for his miracles. And Naaman spoke to the Syrian king, who quickly composed a letter, if you remember, to Elisha on Naaman's behalf. After dipping seven times in the Jordan, actually after him throwing a fit, you remember, and I mean, why didn't you come out and greet me like you're supposed to, and all that kind of stuff. And finally, you know, one of his guys traveling with him said, you know, if he told you to dip over here, you would have done it. Why don't you go on and dip in the Jordan, see what happens? That was kind of what was going on. And then finally, Naaman said, okay, and he dipped seven times. You remember, he was healed. It wouldn't have happened. Except the young Hebrew slave girl who had been kidnapped by the very people whose general had become a leper. She harbored obviously no resentment or anger toward the Syrians, but demonstrated compassion and bravery by speaking to Naaman's wife about Elisha. We don't know her name. We don't know anything else about her life. but this little tiny slither of information. Are there examples in the New Testament as well? Glad you asked. Rhoda. Remember Rhoda? Acts 12. The first disciple of the Lord was martyred, and shortly after, Peter was imprisoned, if you remember. The church gathered to pray for him, most probably in the house of Mary, John Mark's mother. As they interceded, an angel of the Lord appeared in prison, in Peter's prison cell, if you remember that, woke him up, led him past all the guards, out into the streets of Jerusalem. Remember now, there's a crowd gathering in Mary's house, John Mark's mother's house. A group gathered there praying as hard as they could pray for Peter to get out. And so, you remember the angel came and set him free, and he got out. Focused on their praying, apparently, no one heard Peter knocking except Rhoda. Now, Rhoda was a servant. Imagine her surprise when she opened the door and saw Peter. She was so excited, you remember, that she left the apostles standing on the porch and ran inside to tell all them that he was there. And in their great faith, you remember, they refused to believe her. But curiously concluded that Peter's angel must be the one at the door. Interesting story about that. But let me insert two things here. First of all, they obviously were familiar with angels in this time frame. Comfortable with the appearance of angels. You know, she didn't go screaming because an angel, everybody, you would think everybody would go running to the door. There's an angel out there. No, everybody didn't go running to the door. Matter of fact, she had to go back and get it. He kept knocking, if you read the story. And the church, you know, their response indicates that, you know, that the angel was not an issue. The issue was that Peter was there. The issue was that God had answered their prayers. That was the problem. It wasn't that an angel could have been standing there. There seems to be a little problem with their praying, because when the Lord answered, they didn't believe it. Perhaps they reacted and they just simply because they were so shocked that God answered. Have you ever been shocked that God answered? Uh-huh. You know what you end up saying? Can you believe it? That's what we do. Man, we prayed and prayed. Can you believe God did this? You know, who was Rhoda anyway? Do we know anything else about her life? Was she married? Did she have children? All we know about Rhoda is that she was given the privilege to be the first person to see Peter after his miraculous relief from prison and the first to announce it to a praying church. Just a servant. Did she have a special encounter? She did. Was it just a coincidence? No, it wasn't, because God has no coincidences. Now, I want you to listen very closely to this one. This is the Lord saying about Rhoda. Was chosen for the mundane task of opening the door and announcing Peter's arrival. After that, she disappears from the pages of Scripture. But she was chosen, sent here, knowing that that was part of her task. You would never think answering a phone, going and opening a door, or going and taking care of anybody could be an assignment from God. You got to remember that during this time, persecution was everywhere. Everybody else could have been afraid to open the door. Now, she's honored in the Word as one of the early disciples. You and I think that purpose and destiny has to be some big old huge something. Maybe it's just listening and being willing to move on something and do what God has asked you to do. See, church, these are people like me and thee. These are just people. Since God decreed that these people who are labeled as minor characters were included in His Word, there's purpose and there's promise associated with it. So when God sent you to this earth, it was at the precise time in history that He needed you to represent Him to the world. So if you're here now and you think He doesn't even know where you are, He knows who you are. He sent you here with a purpose to do something for the world. Everything you and I do that represents and shows forth the glory of God and who He is in our life. It's written down in His book. He's got it. And it holds just as much, if not more, than what I'm doing today. Because it's what He sent you to do and the kind of servant He sent you to be. So in the eyes of the Lord, you, every one of you, is a chosen vessel in God's eyes, and you have an assignment and a destiny to fulfill. These lesser-known Bible characters must seem like they didn't have a lot to offer, and they didn't do much of great significance. But the truth is that by doing what they did and living as they lived, they had a vital, if not hidden, part in the total unfolding of God's plan, so that you and I understand who God is. These obscure Bible characters demonstrate to us that God does indeed use the unknowns, the simple, and the humble, your hidden treasures. Amen. May you and I grow to be who He's called us to be. Amen. Amen.